Coming up on today's show.
That was really the kind of turning point in my faith, I would say, in 2012 after that retreat. It was a eye-opening experience.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. You can sign up there for free for the weekly e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. You will see the box approximately halfway down the homepage with a header that says newsletter, and you just put in your email address and your name, check the opt-in box, and then hit the blue subscribe button. Do check your email then, though, as I'm pretty sure it sends you an email to confirm having signed up. At the top of the website, and actually even through links in the newsletter, you can link over to social media for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. I do hope you have joined or will join the Catholic Sports Radio community, which is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that as well on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And of course, social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. While our attention as sports fans is overwhelmingly on the NFL, the NHL, and the NBA at this time of year, they did just recently hand out a number of end-of-season awards in Major League Baseball. Of course, the same happens in those other three leagues as well when they reach the beginning of their off-season. One award that doesn't get quite the prominence as some of the big ones like MVP or baseball's Cy Young Awards is the Comeback Player of the Year. In a lot of cases, it's usually pretty obvious who deserves that honor because the athlete has usually overcome some dire circumstances, usually a major injury, and made their way back to their peaceful place as a regular competitor and member of the active roster. Does that sound familiar? Think of the sacrament of reconciliation and how we go in with some really dire circumstances of our own, sins that we think just can't be forgiven, and yet receiving absolution and feeling like we can go out and take on the world, having had our soul cleansed. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, "As Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been playing professional baseball since being selected in the fourth round of the 2008 Major League Baseball draft by the Texas Rangers. He is a pitcher who has played in MLB for the San Diego Padres, Los Angeles Dodgers, and Seattle Mariners. Plus, he has earned numerous honors while pitching at the minor league level, and he even spent a couple seasons pitching in Japan and one other in Korea. As a student athlete, he had been named State Player of the Year by two newspapers while playing high school baseball. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Joe Wieland.
Bruce, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, Joe. I appreciate you making time for this. As the audience will see if and when they look you up online, and as they'll hear as our conversation goes along today, you have moved around quite a bit during your baseball career, but share with us first where it all got started for you. Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size when you were growing up?
Been around a lot. But I was born and raised in Reno, Nevada. I was the oldest of three. I have a sister who's 2 years younger than me, and then I have a brother who is 7 years younger.
And tell us, too, about the presence of the Catholic faith in your house when you were a young boy, including any Catholic schools you might have attended and or retreats you might have gone on.
Yeah, we were the Catholic faith was a priority with my parents, my grandma and grandpa. Sunday Mass, it was a necessity growing up. I went to Our Lady of the Snows elementary school, and then I went to Bishop Minogue Catholic High School. And while I was at Minogue, I went and actually led both of these. I went on a quest retreat, and then a sophomore, I was a leader for it. And then as a junior, I went on Kairos and again led it my senior year. So growing up, the Catholic faith was, as you know, a cradle Catholic. It was always part of my life.
Wow. Wow. And how nice that you mentioned going to church with your grandparents, too. A lot of people just don't live close enough to their grandparents as much as they might like to. It's just really not a convenience thing. So I'm sure that's a nice memory that you have.
Yeah, and it was my mom and dad's side is my, or my mom's side as my dad's mom and dad were down in Los Angeles. So growing up in Reno, we were always with my my mom's parents. And talking about a memory, I had we'd walk into Our Lady of the Snows, and every Sunday, my grandma and grandpa sat in the same exact spot in the same exact pew, and everybody there knew that that was their seat. So even if they were a little late that day or something, nobody sat in those seats. And we always knew what row, what pew we were going to be sitting in going to church.
Season ticket holders.
Exactly. Exactly. I remember sitting there, we'd be after communion, I'd be kneeling on the pew, and everybody that would walk by would shake my grandpa's hand. It was literally one of those moments.
Wow. I mentioned in the intro that you were named State Player of the Year by two newspapers for high school baseball. With your having made a career out of it, is baseball the one and only sport you ever played? And for that matter, how and when did you first get into playing sports? Who got you into playing sports?
So baseball was not the only sport. I played basically everything.
Oh.
I played basketball all the way through high school. I played my freshman year, I played football. After that season, I kind of realized that it was probably not for me. More of a basketball, baseball guy. I didn't want to risk anything for baseball. I played golf, a lot of golf. Wow. I feel like that's kind of something that as a pitcher in pro baseball, you kind of need to play golf. But I've played everything my whole life. There wasn't anything, any one moment, any one circumstance, any one instance that just like, this is what I'm going to play. I played everything growing up. I remember my mom would, I'd play catch with my mom in the backyard. My dad, he'd take me to the batting cages. Baseball was always the sport that I loved the most, but I played everything growing up.
You know, it sounds like I just listened to an interview with Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors, and obviously he's a very, 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 very well-known, very accomplished, very great NBA player, but he's an equally great golfer, and they quizzed him on other sports, and he was saying the same answer that you did, that pretty much wasn't anything that he didn't play, and he was pretty darn good at a lot of them. So I guess you get painted with the baseball brush because of all the years that you've spent in the sport. But take us back, because this might be a teaching moment for some listeners. You were drafted by the Texas Rangers in the fourth round of the 2008 Major League Baseball draft. You were going to attend San Diego State University, but didn't end up going. So walk us through the mechanics of what happens operationally in a situation like that, but also how important it clearly has to be for a student athlete to have their faith during a time like that, not only to see getting drafted as a blessing, but to stay humble at a time when I'm sure it can be really easy to fall into one of the seven deadly sins, which is pride.
Yeah, that's, you said it perfectly. Very easy to fall into that trap. When I was, I'd say a junior in high school, that was kind of when I started noticing people started telling me, hey, the next level, obviously college is going to be there, but professional baseball might be an option out of high school, immediately out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And after my junior year, we hired an advisor and throughout my senior year, you know, he kind of gave me updates as to what he's hearing, what scouts are saying, you know, kind of what it looks like. And early on, it was kind of a, you know, you might be a top 15, top 20 round pick. Mm-hmm. And then as the season went on, I kind of skyrocketed up some draft boards. And then next thing you know, I'm a projected top 5 round pick. Mm-hmm. And we all sat down together and we decided, okay, if I already have my scholarship, I'm already going to San Diego State, like that's already there. But if I get drafted in the top 5 rounds, we set it as I'm going to go play pro ball.
Okay.
If I don't get drafted in the top 5 rounds, but if a team is willing to give me top 5 round money, then I will go play pro ball. If not, then I will go to San Diego State and start my career that way.
I see.
And so there was a lot of praying. There was a lot of just asking for guidance. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to work out the way it's supposed to. You know, God's got a plan. And, you know, we were fortunate enough that Texas came calling in the fourth round.
So you obviously made the decision, as I said, when I set you up for that, to not go to San Diego State. But the Texas Rangers tell you where you're going to go play, right? They assign you somewhere?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Okay. So as I mentioned, you got drafted in 2008, and 4 years later, exactly April 14th, 2012 was the date, you make your major league debut pitching for the San Diego Padres at the age of just 22. At that point, were you thinking, what a blessing, I'm only 22 and already in MLB? Or had you maybe been getting antsy and talking to God saying, come on, I'm ready, please get me to MLB? Were you aware of, quote unquote, God's timing is always perfect? Or is it, you know what, Bruce, as you mentioned, I was only 22. I was impatient.
Yeah, there was no, to be honest, there was no like, God, what's taking so long? Like, I felt like I went fairly quickly through the system, and it was more of I'm 22 years old in the big leagues pitching in Dodger Stadium. Mm. You know, like I fully, looking back at it now, like I fully did not know everything that was going on. You know, I was a kid, you know, it was still, you know, it was so surreal. I was extremely grateful and thankful, and, you know, it was a dream of mine, and I could finally say that I had accomplished the dream that I had ever since I was a little kid. But man, I got called up. I'm in Dodger Stadium at 22 years old, and it was just it was like okay, what do I do? Type of thing.
I know I've been playing this sport since I was a kid, but what am I supposed to do here? You're handing me the baseball. Now what?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, the way you described it, it sounds like you went from, we hired an advisor, we're listening to hear what they're saying about me, and you blinked, and there you were standing on the mound in Dodger Stadium.
Yes, basically. I didn't feel like, you know, there were some ups and downs in the minor leagues for sure, but they were small enough to where they helped me grow as a player, and they weren't just complete roadblocks that, all right, my career's stopped and I got to figure out a new way. It was little things of, you know, hey, maybe I was a little too stubborn at a lower level because it was working and a pitching coach was trying to tell me, hey, this might work here, but it's not going to work at the next level. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't see that. Mm-hmm. It was, you mean, I'm getting outs with how I'm attacking hitters or how I'm throwing a certain pitch, and I just didn't believe these guys trying to tell me. And then when I got promoted to another level and I get there and it stopped working, it's like, oh, okay, I see what they were trying to tell me, you know? So it was just little things that helped me get better, but it was nothing that slowed me down. So it was a fairly quick track to the big leagues.
Yeah. And audience, hold on to that expression that I just used in asking Joe that question. This episode, by the way, is being released on Monday, November 27th, which is the day before Giving Tuesday, which since 2012 has taken place the Tuesday after Thanksgiving in the United States. It is touted as a, quote, global generosity movement, unleashing the power of people and organizations to transform their communities and the world, end quote. I don't pretend to think or say that I am transforming anyone through my ministry, but I do hope that Catholic Sports Radio is making an impact on you, and certainly your faith walk, that it's helping you in your walk with Christ. On a number of episodes of this show, I have talked about my vision for the three different groups of people that I feel can be affected by my ministry, meaning those who have completely fallen away from church, those who simply go on Sunday just to say they went to church, and even the people who are already on fire for their faith. At the same time, I've also detailed over a number of episodes of Catholic Sports Radio the costs that I face in operating this ministry, while reminding you that not only is it just me doing everything by myself to keep this show going every week for more than 4.5 years now, but that I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that I somehow have to find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover the various expenses related to Catholic Sports Radio. So in the spirit of Giving Tuesday, regardless of the date that you're listening to this, I would ask you to prayerfully consider supporting me and my work by way of the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, easy, secure, and you simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving, meaning that there's not a list of predetermined amounts you have to choose from. For those that are a little hesitant about putting credit card information online, you can instead contact me for information on sending a check through the mail. Get in touch via social media or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with the relevant details. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ. Joe, it's interesting that I mentioned about God's timing is always perfect, because not only is 2012 when you made your major league debut, but 9 weeks ago on this show, my guest was Ray McKenna, who runs Catholic Athletes for Christ. And 2012 is also when you first attended a Catholic Athletes for Christ retreat. Tell us about that.
Yeah, 2012 was special. I made my major league debut. I unfortunately had Tommy John surgery that kind of set me back that year, but I was able to get really close with a teammate of mine at the time, Jeff Supon. And he was the one that had told me about Catholic Athletes for Christ. So we would go to Mass Sunday mornings at the field. And towards the end of the year, he told me, he said, "Hey, I think you should come to this retreat." And I, you know, kind of was like, okay, whatever. But he was pretty adamant about it. And so I went, and I got to meet Ray there. And that was really the kind of turning point in my faith, I would say, in 2012 after that retreat. It was a eye-opening experience of, you know, you can't just be kind of a, say you're a Catholic, go through the motions, go to Mass sometimes. It's you got to be all in. And that retreat was really what kind of lit and got my faith journey kind of more back on track and full head of steam.
And not just 2012. You've been on a number of Catholic Athletes for Christ retreats ever since, yes?
Yeah, I think I've only missed, since then, I've missed one. One of them, I believe.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Fantastic. As the audience can imagine, playing as long as you have, especially as a pitcher, you have had your share of injuries. In addition, when someone is as fortunate as you have been to play professional baseball as many years as you have, it is exceptionally, exceptionally rare to see a player remain with one organization throughout their career. Can you tell us about going through adversity such as the injuries you've had and such as changing teams and the role that faith plays in helping navigate through those challenges?
Yeah, I think for me, I've never had an issue with changing teams per se, you know, with trades, because I have been traded 4 times. I'm kind of an easygoing guy. I'm you tell me where to go, I'll go. You know, I've really never had an issue with that. So the trades weren't as big of a problem for me. Injuries in my career were, that was a different story. You know, I was 22 in the big leagues, and after a month, I went down with Tommy John. Mm. And that was that one was tough, but you know, how I said the retreat kind of got my faith back on track. At that time, I was 22, you know, young, kind of just thinking everything will be fine. You know, probably not taking care of my body the way I should have been, you know, getting around some of the wrong people. And that was, you know, thank God for a guy like Jeff Supon, who was able to convince me to go, because I realized going through that whole rehab process, if I had not relied on my faith, especially towards the end, because it ended up being about a 28-month rehab.
Oh.
And I had a second surgery that I had to clean up some stuff in the backside of my elbow. If it weren't for my faith, like I don't know where I would have ended up. There was a week where I really didn't sleep because my elbow started flaring up again, and I really didn't think I was ever going to play again.
Mm.
And so being able to fall back on it, and it's still, I mean, I was 23, 24 years old. So, you know, I still hadn't fully, you know, grasped my faith like I do today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been through more. You know, a couple years ago, I ended up having a shoulder issue, when I was with the Cubs, and I ended up missing the entire season in 21. For something that I didn't even have an injury. I just had calcium start to develop in my shoulder.
Mm.
And it kept me out that whole year. And, you know, you start over time, you start asking why. Like, man, I was in a great situation. I was in a, if I was healthy, I probably would have been in the big leagues at some point that year. And I missed the whole year because I had calcium in my shoulder, you know, and that was really that year. I really had to trust, you know, what God's plan was, because the writing was on the wall. Hey, you're healthy and you're pitching, you're going to be in the big leagues. It was easy to see. And I, you know, it was just kind of one of those things. I had come back from Asia, and I'm like, all right, here's my chance again to get back. And, it was tough. And, my faith and especially my wife is very, very faithful, and having her there and seeing her faith of trusting that, hey, it's God's plan, it's not ours. That's what you really have to grasp, you know, and just you trust that it's not your plan. And when you do, when you fully let go, you see all along that things are better when you trust and you let God handle it.
Amen. Amen. Great testimony. Great testimony. I want to make sure to give you a chance to talk about your being a board member of a charity that I would love for you to tell the audience about.
Yeah. So my wife and I are on the board of a charity called Mission 108, and it's based out of Lexington, Kentucky. It was started by Robbie and Brittany Ross. He was drafted the same year as me with the Rangers. He's one of my best friends, amazing guy, very, very spiritual, great Christian man. And him and his wife started Mission 108, and it's an anti-human trafficking charity. And we run a safe house down in India for women who have been basically rescued out of the sex trafficking down there. The place, the house is called Nyasha, and I'm not sure the number of girls that are in there currently. I know, I think one of the last numbers was 19 or 21 or something like that, girls that are down there. And we fully, fund the house, and it allows the girls to just get the skills, the love. It's like a reset, because, you know, it happens here in our backyard. It happens everywhere. But these girls are being anywhere from 12, 13 years old to, you know, 19, 20, 21, where we get these girls and we teach them, you give them life skills, You let them know that they're loved. You just get them back on their feet. And it's a great charity. My wife and I have, we have not been down to the house yet. We were planning on doing that a few years ago, but my wife got pregnant. So that delayed that. And then obviously COVID happened. So we haven't made it down there yet. But that is on our list of getting down there so we can actually see the girls and kind of develop a relationship with the girls that we're helping.
Yeah, no doubt. And hats off to the Rosses for that charity. That's great work. That's important. And sadly, there's not enough of those around, but it's great that they are able to do the work that you described. We've talked plenty about Joe Wieland, the baseball player, today, but let's hear more about Joe Wieland, the Catholic, as far as some of the initiatives that you have activated in the last couple of years that you shared with me in the lead up to today.
Yeah, obviously, you know, with the Catholic Athletes for Christ retreat and getting to know Ray and all the members there, that is really what has kind of got my my faith really going over the last 10, 12 years. You know, I mentioned the retreats that I went on in high school, but a couple years ago, we did the consecration to St. Joseph. One of the chaplains for, I believe he was the Mets at the time, but Monsignor Tom, who's one of my best friends, he married my wife and I, he led us in the consecration to St. Joseph. And it was kind of special was Father Calloway actually came on for the first week that we did it, and he helped lead it. And that was special because, you know, you grow up, there's not a lot, you know, kind of St. Joseph is a little bit on the back burner. You know, it's all about Jesus and Mary. And you do this consecration, you realize how important and how special St. Joseph was. And the two of the things that really stuck out, the titles of the Pillar of Families and the demons. Oh, I'm blanking right now on the name. Sorry now. But just knowing and going through that consecration, it brought me so much closer to Jesus and through St. Joseph. And so that was pretty special. And then I've had a devotion to Mary for a while now. I feel like the rosary is a weapon against Satan that I think every Catholic should be carrying around and praying. You know, that has been a daily rosary has helped me fight temptation. It's helped me guide some of the things that I've done with, you know, in my family, like, you know, because a decent amount of my family has kind of left the Catholic faith. Mm. And I know the rosary has been something that has truly helped me and fueled and kept me going.
And this year, I understand you went to your first Latin Mass. Is that true? Where did you go and what were the circumstances that led you to a Latin Mass?
Yeah, that was, I've always had that on my list. I've just never been in a situation to go. Scottsdale, there's not, around where I am, there's really no Latin Mass easily available. And so I happened to be, we were on the road playing up in Tacoma this year, and I was trying to find a Mass for Sunday morning. And I just stumbled across a parish that was actually only Latin.
Mm.
So there was no English, and I didn't know that. And so it was almost kind of an accidental, I've wanted to go, but I didn't know that this wasn't an English Mass.
Yeah, a happy accident.
And so I ended up going. Yeah, and it was one of the low. It was a low, so it wasn't sung. And it was, I understand what people say when they go to a Latin Mass of just the beauty. It's the Mass in its purest form. And even though you don't understand what the words coming out of the priest's mouth are, you know what is going on, you know what you know what you're doing, you know what you're there celebrating. And it, I think it just really, puts the Eucharist, you know, front and center.
Yeah. What a nice memory. And just for the record, so folks understand, you were playing for who at the time?
I was playing for Las Vegas, the Aviators, the AAA for, the Oakland A's.
Okay. You've mentioned her a couple of times, so let's close by having you share about your wife, her name, how the two of you met, and how long y'all have been in the Sacrament of Holy Matrimony.
Yeah, my wife, Beth Wieland, we have been married for 8 years. We met in Arizona. We met in Scottsdale. That was during, it was actually when I was rehabbing my UCL injury, and I had just been through a tough time, kind of one of those low points where, again, just your faith wasn't, I just didn't have, you know, much faith at all at that time. And she comes into my life and kind of turned everything around. We've got two kids. We have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old boy. Yep, two boys. Never a dull moment in the house. We got married in Arizona at St. Pat's, and both of our boys were baptized there. And she's been an absolute inspiration. She keeps the house going. She runs. She's a rock for our family, and I truly thank God every day for her.
Yeah, I was going to say she's the MVP, and then I was going to say the most valuable parent, but obviously the most valuable wife too. And thank you for mentioning the boys. I did not know. I pride myself in the research that I do, and shame on me, I didn't know that y'all have two kids. So that's great news. And Joe, God bless you. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Really enjoyed the conversation, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, it's obviously fitting that we close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer. So let's do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, O God, for giving me a body which is fit and strong, and for making me able to use it well. In my training, help me never to shrink the discipline which I know that I need and that I ought to accept. In my leisure and in my pleasure, help me never to allow myself any indulgence which would make me less fit than I ought to be. When I compete with others, help me, win or lose, to play fair. When I win, keep me from boasting. When I lose, keep me from making excuses. Keep me from being conceited when I succeed, and from being sulky when I fail, and help me always with goodwill congratulate a better man who beat me. Help me so to live that I will always have a healthy body and a healthy mind. This I ask for your love's sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.